You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is The Light of Day. And I'd like you to start with me in Psalm 139. For some of you, this is very familiar. For some of you, you've never seen this in your life, in this building or beyond. It's very revealing. The psalmist here clearly gets to the place where he understands how God sees him, how God interacts with him, and takes it before he was born even. And let's jump in here at verse 1 of Psalm 139. You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Now, he appears to understand what he's just written, what he's just said. All these things are true to him, that God is behind him, in front of him, hand on him, cares for him. These things are too wonderful. The dilemma in a life, and I live too long this way, is I read these words and had no idea what they meant. I thought, well, maybe they apply to someone else, but for some reason, I didn't understand or believe that they actually applied to me personally, that I could be the person saying this, not just the psalmist, that David was saying it because he knew he had a relationship with God. But what if God actually feels this way about me, that he cares about me? He's omniscient in terms of his all-knowingness toward me. Of course he is, but why would he even care of me? As one of the scriptures says, what is man that you are mindful of him? Why would he even bother thinking about me? And yet David here says, it's too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even if I went out into the deepest, darkest ocean, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. So you say, well, someone's in the dark. It's fascinating to me that people, when they run from God, never run to light usually. They run to dark. Think of the things that go on in the world, the evil things that happen. Unfortunately, too many things happen at night. And if you're like me, my mom, dad, you said nothing good happens after midnight. There's even songs about it. But the darkness to him, even if you go hide in that place, he sees you, he knows you. And then look at this. He says, okay, well, this is who I know that I am. This is how I know God sees me. It blows my mind, can't get my head around it. And then he has an awareness and takes it even before that. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. So you've been taking care of me before I even got out of the womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Now, this guy understands not only does God care about his life, but God cared about him before he was even born. Let's go to another one. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You say, well, what's the context of this? Go down to verse 6. Everybody knows this verse, usually. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Who's he talking about? Jesus, prophesied back in Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus ever showed up. But part of it is the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. That's what's coming. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Now, if you, and let me say this slowly and carefully and make sure it's simple. You can get born. You can see the light of day physically. You say, okay, well, if you're here today, you're alive, you're breathing. Unless you're a blind person, I'll read you something about that. But seeing the light of day in the context of at least being born, you got born, so you're alive. So you say, well, that's it. I've seen everything there is to see. It is possible to be born physically and live dead spiritually till the day you physically die. And you walk around and you say, yeah, but I see this room. I go outside. I see the stars at night. I see the sun. I see all these things. How can you say that I live in darkness? Because there are things that you will never see until you see with new eyes, until you become a Christian, until you have the light, his light, shine on you and in you and through you. There are things that will never make sense. So if you take someone who, let's take a person and put them in a dungeon, absolute darkness. It is amazing what just a little light, you strike a match and literally the match light chases the darkness. A ton of it, not completely, as far as you go, it will diminish, but a ton of the darkness cannot overwhelm, cannot, the Bible says, comprehend that light. So you light that match and boom, you can see things. So what may be happening to you that you don't even understand is that somewhere along the way, you get around a person and you say, wow, it's crazy, but when I'm around that person, things start making a little, I can see things and understand things I didn't see before. But when I get away from those people, it seems like it goes dark again. It's him that is shedding light on your life and wants to bring you to the light. So this is my encouragement at this point in the message, in this room and beyond. If you think that you have heard something, and I'm not talking about spiritualization and, you know, getting in the right position and opening yourself up to the universe, you know, God help us. You know, oh, I went to the gym and I, you know, if you open yourself up to the universe is going to invade your life. Open yourself up to Jesus. If you want to meditate, meditate on Jesus, his word, and be careful with all this. Oh, I'm going to be spiritual. That's not what this is about. This is about being godly. This is about being holy. This is about connecting with the one true God and his son, Jesus. And again, you say, but that's your opinion. No, it's not. It's right here. You say, well, I don't believe that. And I say this very gently again. I think I'm saying it gently. It's probably not very gentle. You say, I don't believe all that. And here's my contention. You will. You'll believe all of this one day. It might be too late. So if you think there's some urgency, you say, well, you seem like you're angry, you're urgent, you're whatever. Of course I'm urgent. It's your life at stake. That's all. It's just your life. Go to Luke chapter 1, New Testament. Try to keep this going left to right. Luke chapter 1. This is a long chapter, but it starts out. Well, let's go down to verse 67. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. So the context here is a guy named Zacharias. He's one of the guys that works in the temple. And his son that's about to be born is John the Baptist, who is Jesus' cousin and is going to be kind of the herald, the guy that goes before Jesus. And this is the description. This is what he says about this kid in verse 76. Referring, this is Zacharias prophesying about his own child that is to be born, that's coming. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. And look at this next verse. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Where did he get that? Quoting straight out of what we read earlier in Isaiah. So to give light to those who sit in darkness. Go to Luke chapter 12. Now, the context, and we may jump around a little bit just for the sake of going left to right. The context of Luke, what I'm going to read you in Luke chapter 12, is a different light of day. Verse 1, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So leaven you put in to the dough to make it rise, a little bit of leaven affects the whole deal. So the leaven, the effect of the Pharisees is that there is hypocrisy. They say one thing, do another, and that is infecting everything. So beware, he says, of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And then verse 2. Now this gets my attention, and I hope when I read this, it will get your attention. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. Now think about what I put me in this as well. What is it that you are doing, involved with, that you think this will never see the light of day? No one will ever know this. It's not great, not very proud of it. Maybe evil, maybe ungodly, but no one will ever know, and I've never told anybody, and I'm just going to go about my business. Has it ever occurred to you that this verse is part of God's mercy, that the fact that you cannot go on indefinitely without something being uncovered is God's way of blowing you up so you can get on with your life? Let's read it. There is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And then he goes on to say, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. So you say, well, you know, kill me? What if dying is not the worst thing that could happen to you? What if you died, and after you died, ended up dead for eternity? Now you got a problem. John chapter 3. Okay, so in the context of seeing the light of day, which first in some ways means being born, you say, okay, well, I'm listening to you. That means I got born, so I'm here. Now look at Jesus having a conversation with one of these Pharisee dudes who kind of is leaning his way. Still a little nervous, comes at night. John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God's with him. Like, we get it, or at least he gets it. Like, you're doing stuff nobody does without God. It's not magic, not hocus pocus. Got to be God. We get that. So you're a rabbi. You've come from God. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this is what I'm trying to say to you today. You are born physically, you can see the kingdom of this world. You can see physically what you can see. But unless you are born a second time, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You will never see it in this life or in the next life. You say, well, like, so what do you see? You know, what's different? I see in this room alone, I can take Clifton, I can go almost seat by seat, and I can see the kingdom of God. You know, what is that? It's still the same guy in the same body. I see the rule and reign of Christ in a man's and a woman's life and how that changes them completely, literally from darkness to light, where their life changes, the way they see the world, the way they live, what they value, what their priorities are, where they're headed, whose glory they're after. All of these things start to come to life, and you see life with meaning, with purpose, the way God intended. So keep reading. You've got to be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So he's thinking physically, am I going to crawl back in my mom? It's a stupid thing, but that's where his brain goes, the natural thought. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. So break water, break spirit, right? You know, water breaks, somebody's born. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you got to be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the spirit. So here's how this works in this room and beyond. A little breeze blows through. A little breeze kicks up. And you thought you were just going to church because a friend invited you. And all of a sudden you feel a breeze. A breeze. And you don't know how to explain where that breeze is coming from because it's a quiet, still room. And yet you feel a breeze. And you realize that God himself, the Spirit of God, is blowing through this room. And he touches your heart. He touches your life. And he says, it's me. And you know it's me because you have no explanation for the breeze. And what are you going to do about that? Oh, that was a cool thing. I'll let that pass and ignore it. Good luck with that. I encourage you to put your sails up and catch you some breeze. Say, Lord, give me faith so that when the breeze blows, I catch that breeze. And part of the reason you will is that you finally get to the place where you say, God, my life sucks. I can't take it anymore. I don't even want to live anymore. If this is it, I want out. I have felt that way. If I can't make sense of this, God, just get me out of here. Because it's empty, it's meaningless, there's nothing left to get or go. You got to save me. And he does, and he can, and he will. John chapter 8, keep going to the right. John chapter 8, and just one verse. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Follow Jesus. Acts chapter 26. Acts 26, a guy named Saul, who was a terrorist chasing Christians down, Jewish guy trying to wipe Christians out, and he has this encounter, if you read in Acts chapter 26, down in verse 13, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me, and when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, and by the way, God speaks lots of languages, so don't worry, he knows your language. But speaks in the Hebrew language to Saul, 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 why are you persecuting me? You're not persecuting Christians. You are persecuting me, and I'm telling you in Hebrew, why are you doing this? It is hard for you to kick against the goad. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's me you're persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to do what? Look at the purpose. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So when you see the light of day the second time, you're spiritually born, you say, oh, I got my ticket to heaven, that's it. That's not it. You are on the planet for a reason, to be light. And Jesus said, he's the light of the world. Then he changed it and said, no, now you are the light of the world. He did not say you carry the light of the world. He literally said, you are the light of the world. So you got to stop being shocked as a Christian when you walk into a situation and people don't want you around if they're in the dark and are pursuing darkness. They don't want light around. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, pretty good book. I keep recommending it to people and I'm going to keep reading it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Now listen to this closely. If you got it in front of you, read this. But even if our gospel, what we're saying about Jesus dying on the cross, buried, raised from the dead, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God, little g, the God of this age has what? Blinded. Who do not believe. Now track with me. So who didn't get it? The people who the God of this age have blinded and they can't see, they're blind spiritually, and they don't believe. So this thing about faith is huge. At some point, if God gives you faith to believe, you better act on that. Do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So somebody, the God of this age, as he's described, is doing what? Trying to blind you, keep you from believing, because if he can't do that, what will happen? the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, will shine on you, and then everything's going to change. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. So if you go back and read Genesis chapter 1, what do you read? Darkness covered everything, and then Jesus, as it turns out, Jesus says this, let there be light. And what happens? Bam, there's light, where there was nothing but darkness. So kind of what I'm saying today, if you're not a Christian, is let there be light. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're after, that he will shine on your heart, and the breeze kicks up, all these things happen, and you go, oh my gosh, I think it's him. I'm going to respond to this. I don't want to live blind anymore. I don't want the God of this age to run my life. I'd like God to be the pilot of my life, to move in and take over. A couple of more. Ephesians chapter 5, keep going right. A couple more and we're done. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, let's jump down to verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness. And he literally says to these believers, doesn't say you were in the dark, he calls them darkness. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Then walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, and whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. It's so hard to explain to a blind person what it's going to be like when you see. How do you explain that? Well, you're going to see red. What is red? How do you describe red to a blind person? You know what? Let's forget all that, me describing it. I'm just going to make you, I'm going to heal you and then you can see. And then I'll say, that's red. Oh, I see what you mean. That's red. You say, Richard, it can't be that easy. It can't be that simple. I got too much proof. Now you say, but you don't have proof that when you die, you'll end up in heaven. But I got proof the light works. I got a room full of light people. Some of them heavy set, but light people who it's working on. And the thing is, if you spend a little time around them, especially if you knew them before, you go, you know what? There may be something to what you're saying. Because they're not like these Pharisee guys you read about that are the leaven, the hypocrisy. I think it's pretty seamless. And when they screw up, they tell me, hey, I screwed up. I'm still struggling. But like their life is going a whole lot better. It's like they see things I don't see. They get things I don't get, and it's not working my way. I think I'd like to talk to you about the light coming on in my life.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Last one, 1 Peter chapter 2, and he describes this new people, the church, the body of Christ, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who, what? Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I am one of those people who he called out of darkness into his marvelous light. It doesn't mean I don't do dark things still, but I know how to get back in the light because the light is in me and shining through me. This would be a good day, if you've never seen the light of day, to see the light of day spiritually. So here's the sadness of this. I can read you all this. I can tell you all this. And you can be this close to being born a second time. And the God of this age reaches down and says, no, you don't need that. Hocus pocus. Not going to work for you. Stay with me. Stay in the dark. Don't use your faith. Even if God's given you faith, say no. Stay in the dark. It's better here than with these crazy people. And you have to literally take a step of faith, knowing that you may leave darkness and step into the unknown, the light. But what if it's true? What if it's real? What if the light of day is better than the darkness?
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.